Today, we are really trying to solve the problem of, you know, how would an employer of any size start to think about offering Bitcoin to their staff? And what would be the obstacles for a company to really try to get on board with that? And, you know, to me, these are all things that come back from my experience being in that industry for so long. We're switching things around this week, and I'm sitting in the guest chair. Roger Huang is joining us to host the episode. And it's a conversation about the origins and evolution of block rewards, a little bit of my own story, and a conversation about why you would want to save and earn Bitcoin. Stick around. All right, welcome to another episode of the Block Reward Podcast. This week we are flipping the script with an episode where I'm going to be the guest, I guess. To accomplish this, we have recruited our own Roger Huang, who's our head of marketing at Block Rewards. And today we're going to have a conversation about Block Rewards, and we'll see where else it goes, I guess. Huh, Roger?
Looking forward to this one. I guess we're flipping the script. Like most of our listeners will have heard a lot from you as a moderator, Scott, or actually very little because you've been moderating. But we figured it might be a great time to just get your story out there and get the story of Block Rewards out there a little bit more. So why don't we start with just the basics and just, you know, tell us a little bit more. I know our viewers know you as the host, but tell us a little bit more as a guest. Who are you? What's the Block Rewards story?
Yeah, for sure. I come from a background of traditional financial services. I started my career in 2008, about 6 months before the great financial crisis. And didn't come from a background of you know, so commerce or finance university. So I was sort of catching up, and I started in a wholesaler role selling benefit plans for small employers. 6 months later, I was in a room of various conferences of people trying to understand and talk about this unprecedented financial event and how they were going to manage the financial products that we were selling customers through this sort of tumultuous and really unknown period. Flash forward, I guess shortly after that was the creation of Bitcoin, which completely went unnoticed by me. And I kind of had my first touch with Bitcoin in 2011 when I moved to Kelowna, which is where Block Rewards is headquartered. And when I moved here, there was a cafe across the street from the apartment I was living in. It was a coin store and next to it. And this coin store was selling Bitcoins. And that was the first time I had ever seen, recall seeing a Bitcoin placement anywhere. I remember thinking I would have my coffee every day and just thinking, like, who would be so stupid as to buy a Bitcoin? Like, why would you ever need a Bitcoin? And I was looking at the sign like every day having my morning coffee. And, they sort of say you have three touch points on your Bitcoin journey before you take it seriously. My second touch point then came in 2017. I had a few coworkers that were caught up in the bull run of 2017 and buying XRP. And then I had a friend who bought $10,000 of XRP basically at the top and watched it drop by 90% over the following few months. And he's still down. You know, he's been holding this entire time and he's still down. But, you know, and so at that point, I had no idea what the difference was between Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And to me, that was an off-putting thing. Obviously, this is a scam, this is confirming my belief. Touch point number three for me, in 2020, I had moved into private consulting. So I was managing benefit plans, pension plans, group retirement savings products for employers of all sizes. Small mom and pop shops to large sort of national brands. And a lot of that work has to do with working closely with executive teams from different companies, really fine tuning their programs and helping them understand, you know, how the assets inside a pension are being managed. When Canada went into lockdown in 2020, so we were unsure about how we were going to earn our fees and create value for our customers during that time when now all of a sudden we actually weren't able to visit people in person, meet with their employees. And we started becoming experts on the government's strategy to manage the country through COVID. And it was about 2 weeks in, the government was announcing this is like a really unprecedented time. And I think as it gets further in the past, we can forget how wild things were in terms of the kinds of things that were being announced on a day-to-day basis. We were paying businesses to stay closed, paying employees to stay home, paying for rents. I mean, it was really just obvious to me. I didn't understand what was happening, but what I did understand was that it was an unprecedented amount of money creation. And I became curious very early on as to what it might mean for our customers. And particularly, you know, I started wondering and worrying about the fixed income portion of pension funds and group retirement savings plans, what are meant to be the sort of safe part of traditional financial portfolios. And what would all this money printing mean? It surely had to mean inflation. So I started reading university textbooks about economics and inflation, and then into like the classical texts of Austrian economics and hard money and kind of Rothbard and Mises. And eventually I stumbled upon Jeff Booth's book, The Price of Tomorrow, and which actually isn't explicitly a book about Bitcoin. It's a book about technology and inflation. And the subtitle of that book is Why Deflation is the Key to an Abundant Future. And I was busy learning all about inflation. I'm like, what does this have to do with deflation? So that book really blew my mind. I started then for the first time considering Bitcoin as being something that was a very serious technology. And then I just went hard down the rabbit hole and I started studying it a lot. Over the next 6 or 12 months, became convinced that Bitcoin was actually the solution to this problem. That, you know, I found the solution accidentally when I was searching for how I should be thinking about advising my customers about what to do with the money that they are setting aside to help their employees plan for the future. And this is the thing that I sort of realized by accident, that all of these traditional financial products we were selling, they're just things that are denominated in money that becomes less valuable over time by design. So we're all working towards growing the amount of money that we have so that in the future, it will be able to provide us a standard of living that we hope is consistent with what we have now or better. And we know that we need to grow that because we know that things will be more expensive in the future. But what is less obvious for people is that the reason we need to grow that amount of money is because the money itself is becoming less valuable all the time. And the reason it's becoming less valuable is because they are continually making more of it. I think that this is something that was a lot less obvious 5 years ago, and a lot has changed in the last 5 years. Obviously, as things have gotten a lot more expensive, a lot faster than we are used to. And so I think that the temperature around inflation has really changed, and you see a lot of people now fed up with the way things have gone. So flash forward. After understanding this idea, it was obvious to me right away that this technology was going to be something that was very useful for employers in helping them accomplish a core goal, which is helping their staff prepare for the future and feel part of that. What's happening when that goes on is that like people want to be able to focus on their work while they're at work. And you can do that when you have less paralyzing anxiety about your long-term prospects. So Bitcoin is the best tool for saving. And that was my first understanding. And then with my background and doing what I've been doing my entire career, it's obvious for me that this tool has an important role to play in the employer-employee relationship. And so Block Rewards really became an idea of like, how can we think about creating tools that will really unleash the power of Bitcoin to help employers try to do what they're already trying to do? And so originally I thought it was going to be some kind of like Bitcoin-backed insurance for pensions. Ideas are always evolving. And so it's something that has changed a lot. And what I continue to learn as I go further and further down the rabbit hole is it's just a really important way to think about paying people. And there are lots of different ways that people get paid. And what we're trying to do now is create a tool that will correspond for every single way you could think about being paid and do it in a Bitcoin way. So it's really exciting. That's a very long answer.
Yeah. No, Scott, I think that was a really, hopefully people have caught up a little bit with your story. I mean, even I work with you and there's some of the things that like I didn't even know, like your Ripple colleague, for example. But I'm wondering, because since some of our listeners probably aren't as aware of like where Block Rewards is now, right? Like kind of what are we working on? What are we doing? I think they hear snippets of our, you know, adventures through the podcast, but I just, love to hear like your take on like where we are now and why you think the employer-employee need for this, as we've talked about, has never been stronger.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's a two-part question. I'll take the first one, the first half of that. Where are we now? Blockforce has changed a lot. It was originally an idea that spun out of Bitcoin Well, and Adam O'Brien has been on the podcast twice, and we've talked about a little bit of the early history of the company in those episodes. Today, we are really trying to solve the problem of, you know, how would an employer of any size start to think about offering Bitcoin to their staff? And what would be the obstacles for a company to really try to get on board with that? And, you know, to me, there are some, these are all things that come back from my experience being in that industry for so long. And some of these concerns apply just the same to traditional products that everybody understands and has known have been around for a long time. And it's, how do we help our staff understand the value? How do we, you know, maximize our own sort of, you know, goodwill or, you know, water cooler talk around any sort of spend that we have as an employer to make sure that it's hitting the mark. With Bitcoin, there are a couple additional layers of concern, you know, like, is it legal? And you wrote a great blog post about, yes, paying people in Bitcoin is legal in Canada. You can pay people in potatoes in Canada, as long as you're remitting the proper taxes to government. Is it secure? How do we help people feel safe? And is it accessible? And this is the biggest thing that we have spent an enormous amount of time trying to solve. So I think that where we are in the Bitcoin journey as a civilization today, at least in Canada, which is our only market today, is that people who are interested in Bitcoin have a lot of different ways to buy it. It's not a difficult thing to obtain Bitcoin in Canada if you really are willing to do a little bit of work and find out how to do that. But in terms of everyone else who might be interested, but they're either not willing to put in a massive amount of investment of time to figure out how, or they might be scared to do it on their own. That's a big obstacle. And for an employer program to be successful, you really want participation and uptake. And so one of the big things that we've been working on that we're really proud to be rolling out right now is our custodial product. And so we have partnered with a qualified Canadian custodian called Balance. Balance is Canada's oldest and largest digital asset custodian. And they have allowed us to offer employees safe Bitcoin storage. And so now inside the Block Rewards platform, employees can have a really sort of first-class custody experience, which solves probably the largest single obstacle and concern for an employer is it safe? And is it accessible? So this time now we can enroll a company with 10 employees or a company with 1,000 employees and be certain that all of those people can have Bitcoin custody and none of them will have to worry about how to do it. And so it's built in such a way, it's a Bitcoin product. We are a very hardcore Bitcoin company, as you know, Roger. So for people who want to take their Bitcoin immediately out of the wallet we've provided them and into cold storage, this is what we recommend everyone do, but not everybody's there. And Block Rewards is really a Bitcoin company that is trying to further adoption and onboard the next wave of Bitcoiners. And so we want things to be easy to use and we want things to feel familiar and safe. And part of the familiarity is why we've gone with the sort of like branding that is, you know, fun and feels like things that people are used to. And so, so that's kind of like the first half. The second question I think was like, why is this important for the employee and the employer relationship?
Yeah. Like as we discussed, you know, like why is this so important? Like I think you went into why employers and why employees from your unique perspective, someone who bridges both, you know, that benefits world and Bitcoin. But, you know, we've talked a lot about how this is as urgent as ever, something that I agree with, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on.
Yeah. I mean, so first of all, when you understand Bitcoin, you understand that the problem of money becoming less valuable is a permanent problem. It's a feature of the system. So the system is not broken. It's working perfectly. And the system actually needs money to become less valuable. And so as long as we continue using government money, and I'm not advocating that we don't, I expect that we will, we have to then understand that a permanent condition of how this will work is that our money is going to become less and less valuable over time. And the way compounding works, that tells us that the rate of debasement and devaluation of currency has a high likelihood of accelerating over time. So that means to say that this problem that people are already fed up with is the party's just getting started. This is a problem that is going to become worse. Now, so I think about, you know, this, there's a few, you know, we can split it apart and we can think about employers and we can think about employees. If we're thinking about employees, this is everybody, everyone knows, almost everybody, you know, has to work for a living. And this core problem of your money not going as far as it used to is something that immediately falls to what you're deciding to do with your time. So if you are making the same amount of money you've always made, and it used to be enough and now it's not enough, you either need to earn more money or you need to change jobs or find a second job. And this is actually a money problem. So it's not your employer's fault that the money that you are earning that used to be fine and now is not fine, but that doesn't do anything to address the problem. And so Bitcoin, because it has appreciated so quickly, I think one of the things that people who don't follow Bitcoin have a hard time really conceptualizing is exactly how significantly it has outperformed every other asset that you could own instead. And so the way that I like to think about this is, if we use the Bitcoin measurement, if we use Bitcoin price as the number instead of thinking about things in dollars, if you look at the Bitcoin price in dollars, you can tell it was $1 14 years ago, and now it's today, I think, $85,000 for one Bitcoin. That's obviously a spectacular appreciation in price. But people kind of will get caught up in, you know, it's down whatever since it hit its previous all-time high now in I think December. And the last 4 or 5 months, Bitcoin has been down. If we instead think about the price of things priced in Bitcoin instead of the price of Bitcoin in dollars, it's a much more instructive way of understanding what's going on with Bitcoin. And so a very simple example of this would be the price of an average home in British Columbia, where I live, was 600 Bitcoin in 2016. And now I think it's about 6 Bitcoin 10 years later. And that trend is likely to continue as Bitcoin price continues to rise over time. And so the price of houses has gone up, but if you were using Bitcoin as your measurement to determine the price of a house, the price of houses in Bitcoin in the last 10 years in British Columbia has actually gone down by 99%. And that's actually true of every asset. Even the price of gold has been parabolically rocketing over the last few months. But even the amount of gold you would have been able to buy if you had, in terms of like how much Bitcoin your pile of gold will buy you, has also lost 99% of its value over the last 10 years. So, and that includes this recent run-up in the gold price. So if you're thinking about what that might mean for your ability to stretch your money a little bit further, I think about it like this: if your money's becoming more valuable instead of less, then you have actually just solved your problem of your money. And now that's not necessarily true over a period of months, but we're talking about Bitcoin as a long-term vehicle for saving. And in the old days, people used to not have to invest the money that they had left over. If they had any left over at the end of a pay period, they would just try to save it. And if you can think about Bitcoin as a long-term tool for saving, then you're putting your money into an asset that is really rocketing faster than anything else that you could do with your money. So we pulled the stats, and for someone who was thinking about putting 5% of their annual salary into something, if they put that 5% into Bitcoin over the last 5 years, that 5% of their wage would have yielded another just about 4.5% to their wage. So if you could effectively get an extra 5% of your wage for nothing, that's a fairly significant increase. And this is sort of how we're starting to think about things. And this is something I've been personally observing by myself being paid in Bitcoin. And I think the other piece around employees is long-term planning for the future. So, you know, we kind of agree that the money printing problem is permanent and it's not going anywhere. And that means that as more people understand a potential solution or a way to escape that problem is by instead just holding a form of money that can't be inflated. And that's what Bitcoin is. And so if you're thinking about planning for your retirement, are you trying to gamble your money on a portfolio of companies and guess on the technological trends and economic conditions and all these other things that might be involved in getting that right? And if you do, the average portfolio of stocks, you know, hopes to kind of return 5-7%, maybe 10 if you're lucky. And we know that the rate of inflating the Canadian dollar actually expands by about 8-9% a year. So that means that every 8 or 9 years, there's actually twice as many Canadian dollars. So your stock portfolio needs to do actually quite a bit more than 7% if you want to just keep up with the rate of actual monetary debasement. And every four first world countries the same: Australia, UK, the euro. I think the US dollar is around 7%. But so thinking about long-term planning for the future, you know, it solves a really important problem. We know this problem of currency debasement is permanent. And so you might think instead of trying to outrun inflation by gambling on a basket of companies, by just saving in the only form of money that can't be inflated. So that's kind of one half. I think that the other half, so for an employer, if you just think about a mirror of everything I just said, for an employer, you know, having to continually raise wages, we have to pay people more forever to retain them because the cost of everything is going up forever. And that's not an employer's fault, but it doesn't change the reality that if they don't acknowledge that, they're going to risk losing top talent. And so offering your staff a form of money that appreciates in dollar terms instead of becomes less valuable should be a pretty exciting thing once you understand why you would want to do that. I think that Bitcoin creates a really cool opportunity for companies to expose their staff to a really important and cutting edge technology, and at the same time, offer them something that is incredibly valuable. So that on its own is a reason to do this. The fact that it can potentially stretch your existing compensation rewards budget farther by giving your staff something that is actually becoming more valuable over time is really exciting. And, you know, companies are the sum of their people. And so what you really need is to make sure that the people that you have decided as an organization that are, you know, critical to your success, that those people have the tools available to them that are going to keep them loyal and motivated. And so the best thing to do that, in my opinion, having been sort of in this business for a really long time, is the most desirable form of money that has ever existed.
I think like when I first joined the team, you know, there's some really interesting numbers that I keep on hitting on. Like, for example, the fact that most benefits programs have like very minimal uptake, right? Like 1 or 2% or something like that. And, you know, you could see just the effect that having a pay raise of sorts or more savings can have on just everything across the board. So that's just, for me, painted a narrative of how much urgency there is around this. But I'm curious a little bit, like we talked a lot about, you know, the benefits of Bitcoin, the objections raised to Bitcoin, maybe more in an abstract sense. But if I could get your like maybe 1 or 2 minute take on just like exactly what is the Bitcoin savings plan right now, you would describe it to like how it's working right now.
Yeah. So I feel fairly comfortable today that the Bitcoin savings plan is the simplest way for an employer to offer Bitcoin to their staff, period. So as we talked about the custodial part, you know, we've really, the things that we've considered in building our software is, does it look and feel like the kinds of tools administrators of existing programs would expect? So yes, our software looks like kind of payroll or human resources software. And for the users, the employees, we call them workers, it looks like their group RSP or their health and dental plan. It's software that looks and is very easy to use. And so this is a product that works through payroll. So people are able to work with their employer, and it can be customized so that an employer can either just roll it out and make it available to staff if they want to have a Bitcoin purchase happening on a regular recurring basis off of their paycheck, which on its own is something that people have a lot of appreciation for. Products that help people save, the easiest way to save is to have something come off of your paycheck before it goes into your bank account. And so Bitcoin Savings Plan can do that without anything else. But beyond that, we do give employers the opportunity to customize how they want to roll this out and offer it. So if they want to give their staff some Bitcoin as a reward or as a perk or as an incentive to participate in the program, we have all kinds of different ways that it can be set up. In a, so different ways of matching an employee's contribution as an example. And the outcome of that is something that's very unique. It's a way for companies in a very simple, reliable, and secure and familiar way to think about offering this really cool and cutting edge and critical savings tool for the modern era to staff in a way that is really easy and accessible for people who don't necessarily know anything about Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think that's so important to be able to offer something that can be used right away by people who have no prior knowledge of Bitcoin. Just changing tact a little bit, going off a little bit of what you're saying on the employer side, you mentioned you were getting paid in Bitcoin as well. Kind of curious to think, you know, Blockworks is a very unique company. That's actually what drove me towards it. It's a Bitcoin company, but solving real world problems. And at the same time, it's attracting, I think, a really talented team. I'm not biased just because I'm part of it, but I think that there's some wonderful members of the team maybe that don't even get as much public exposure. So I'd love to just hear your thoughts on, like, you know, the team at Blockworks and how, more importantly, like, how have you thought about structuring the team? Like, who are we as a motion attacking this big problem of getting Bitcoin into employers and corporations at scale?
Great question. I think our people, we're like any company, our people is the reason why we are the company we are today. And we have been very fortunate to attract some really incredible talent and really just fabulous, fun people who enjoy working together. I attribute that to some of our early members who joined the team and really started the ball rolling. And so, because Seb Bunny and John Ely, who have been on the podcast, and Josh Curlett, who hasn't, but is a really core part of our leadership team. And, you know, from there, boy, I think that as we started talking about, you know, Bitcoin and compensation and rewards, it was sort of this signal that has attracted people from various aspects of that space. And so now we are a little bit unique in the Bitcoin space in that we kind of are this human resource payroll benefits company with a Bitcoin spin. And we're trying to live in both worlds. I think that, and maybe the other point to make is, I could ask you this question back, but we're a very mission-driven company. You know, and our mission's very simple and straightforward. We all believe that people earning Bitcoin solves a really important problem that is very poorly understood. It's poorly understood by employees and it's poorly understood by employers. But everyone who's chosen to hang their hat at Blockworks gets that what we're doing is potentially a very, you know, important service to provide that has a really broad sweeping application. And so I think that beyond everything is this concept of mission, and our actual mission statement is harmonizing the energy exchange of value creation, which is a lot to bite off, but it's something that I think everyone here, the team, really identifies with. What are your thoughts, Raj?
Well, I mean, the harmonizing exchange and value thing, sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to chew in a little bit. It's a, you know, it's a big digester. But at the end of the day, I think, like, you know, we're working on the plumbing of Bitcoin in ways that I think even most Bitcoiners don't intuitively understand. Like, for example, like, oh, there's empty mempool, right? Empty transactions, fees and stuff like that. And it's like, well, how do you solve that? Well, you can get paid in Bitcoin. And then on the other hand, we are at the front lines, right? It's kind of what you said. And that actually feeds into a question I'm going to lead into, which is obviously we're a hybrid company, like what you mentioned, the Bitcoin side and the HR side. And the HR side and the benefit side and the employer side, this argument about Bitcoin, this discussion is not happening at all. So far, like, we are thinking with our hard hats on about how to get in there as persistently as possible. But it's definitely not a downhill thing. So, for example, like, people have been talking a lot about AI across the board, but those same conversations don't happen about Bitcoin. And it's very strange when you think about that. because you can argue, and I would argue that both are having as equal, and I would say Bitcoin probably as more of an effect on the way we think about the world today. I love the culture that we're building out here. We're kind of like putting together some really good people who are having tons of experience in their fields and who are kind of applying their Bitcoin lens as well. But we're also trying to serve a very underserved market when it comes to information and discussion. So bringing Bitcoin to the darker corners of the world, let's say. But having talked about them as the dark corners of the world, I don't mean that in that sense. I'd love to hear a little bit, you know, we've kind of talked about this a lot at length. You know, there's a lack of discourse, put it maybe more bluntly, about Bitcoin in HR circles, right? What is it that you wish HR leaders or people kind of in the benefit space that you worked in would know about Bitcoin? Or why should they start having these conversations?
I mean, and as we've talked about, Roger, you know, the tricky part is for people to, it's like there's just a certain amount of time and attention that's required to understand some of these even fundamental concepts of Bitcoin. And part of what I think we're hoping to accomplish is to accelerate the first couple of steps. And I think the most critical thing for people to understand is the nature of Bitcoin, because it's a protocol and because of how big it is already, the Bitcoin, the machine, this globally distributed network of miners and nodes, it's really emerging in real time as the payments, native payments protocol of the internet. And the internet is incredibly high likelihood of enduring far into the future, probably well beyond any of us are alive. And Bitcoin has a near to the same certainty of enduring into the future. Like Bitcoin is incredibly durable and attack resistant. And it has experienced like a 99.99999% uptime. So this thing is very already robust and secure, and it's being adopted very quickly, regardless of what someone's, you know, perception on the street is. And so I think in Canada in particular, Canada falls into this weird space where the payment rails in Canada are really good. Interac works excellently for the most part. And so it's less obvious to people that, about the need for Bitcoin as a form of money. And it seems like maybe to the average person, because you can't pay for your Starbucks in Bitcoin in Canada, that like Bitcoin is maybe some distant into the future thing. But parallel to that is this problem we've been talking about throughout the whole episode, that like we know with 100% certainty that money is going to become less and less valuable in the future. And the likelihood of that problem speeding up over time is very high. And so you can defer learning about this as long as you want. But the faster you learn about it as a leader, the better equipped you're going to be to make decisions for your company that are going to, you know, position you for success as the broader problem of money gets worse as we expect.
Yeah, I think it's so important to just reemphasize that. And you having lived through all this, right, like in the group benefit space, that amount of experience that you have, I feel like just starting those conversations, having the ability to be able to impart that perspective, so important. So I kind of wanted to ask a little bit more of a fun question as well, maybe for our listeners who have been around for a while. You know, can you give us a little bit of a sneak preview of what's the product roadmap going to be like? What's Block Rewards going to look like in 2 or 3 years? Yeah.
Yeah. Great question. You know, our vision, where we want to go, our goal, our stretch goal is to become the platform for how people get paid in Bitcoin globally. And so part of that will mean expansion into markets beyond Canada. So personally for me, I'm really excited about the day where we can say we're servicing customers in the United States and Europe, maybe Latin America, wherever we're able to get into. And certainly 3 years from now, that will be true. I think if we think about some of the other things that we're trying to do in the short term, we're really excited about the ability to educate staff. And we're investing heavily in tools to make the education journey as fun and engaging as possible. And this is what SEB Bunny is really you know, this is the work that Seb's primarily spearheading for us. And Seb's one of the best Bitcoin educators in the world. And so we are really fortunate to have someone like that on our team creating content that I know is going to help a lot of people get orange-pilled and understand how this is important. So our educational offering is being worked on now and will be coming online in the coming months. And I think from there, you know, we envision a world where the concept of earning some Bitcoin is going to become normal over the rest of this decade. And I like to think about it the same way that, you know, I was kind of, I don't know, 16 or 18 when people started using email. And when I started university in 1998, we were given that was the first time I was given a student email, and I just never checked it because email wasn't a part of like normal life in 1998. And by the time I entered the workforce in 2004, you couldn't work without email. Like, it was really 6 short years where we went from something being used, you know, very minimally to it being really an essential aspect, particularly of white collar work. It just became an ingrained part of business. And I believe that the Internet of Value is continuing to evolve. And the next thing that is going to be digitized is money. And I'm not talking about non-physical, the government getting rid of dollar bills. We're talking about software eating the printing press. And so that process is probably going to take some time. And I actually hope it does, because if it happened overnight, things would be probably pretty chaotic. But what I expect to see is that over the next 3-5 years, there will become a much broader appreciation for how elegant a solution Bitcoin is to escaping the money printing problem. And when that does, what we're going to find is more and more people will have an appetite to be earning the amount of Bitcoin that they're comfortable with as far as how long they are on their own journey. And so we are intending to build a compensation tool that corresponds to every single way you could get paid. And I imagine a future state where anything you could imagine, any kind of work you might want to do, if you so choose, you will be able to be paid for that work in Bitcoin. And that's what we're hoping to build. And hopefully by a few years from now, there will be a lot of different ways to do it on our platform.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of hoping you were going to say Block Wars F1 sponsorship or something, but no. No, I don't even watch F1, so I don't know why that example came up in my head. But I think that was a great level of insight into kind of where we're going. You know, by the time I kind of was moseying around, email has already kind of taken over the world. So I'm excited to see it, especially being in part of a company that's at the leading edge of that. You know, the same thing happened to, as you described it, the Internet of Value, you know, Bitcoin eating the printing press as well. And I think we're going to see that in the next few years. And we're going to be positioned in a really nice place. And hopefully, dear listeners and other people who are considering joining, you know, the platform in some way, you will also be part of this incredible journey. So we've been talking a lot about Block Awards, which is great because normally this is the Block Reward podcast, but there isn't a lot of talk about Block Rewards necessarily. We got a lot of great insights from great guests, but it was always good to dive a little bit more into our story. But now I kind of wanted to end off a little bit towards more of the personal lens, you know, just kind of your perspective, not only as the entrepreneur behind Block Rewards, but also you've written a book, right? The DAO of Bitcoin. Maybe you can talk a little bit more about the motivation behind that and a little bit of what the book, you know, is for.
Yeah. You know, I never imagined writing a book. I never intended to. I didn't write sort of growing up. And so it was something that happened that, I mean, there are a lot of people who don't think of themselves as authors that learn about Bitcoin and end up writing a Bitcoin book. And I mean, you're a little bit different. You're a prodigious author and a very talented writer with a great book of your own, which we did an episode about. For me, you know, I think that part of what is magical about Bitcoin is it is a very, as difficult of an idea as it can seem for people, it can be made sense of in a lot of different ways. So I happen to have a background in traditional financial services and a pretty good understanding of most retail financial products. But that hasn't necessarily helped me explain Bitcoin to people. And it's actually really not how I tend to think about Bitcoin myself. So DAO Bitcoin is really, a collection of thoughts that I had as I was really studying Bitcoin and getting really into it and making sense of it in a way that didn't have anything to do with money or didn't necessarily have anything to do with how we think about money in the traditional sense. And so what I wanted to do was write a Bitcoin book for people who aren't really interested in macroeconomics and bond markets and the history of money. And those books already exist. You know, like there are a lot of really incredible books that I recommend to people. You know, it's not just Price of Tomorrow. The Bitcoin Standard, for anyone who is interested in the history of money and the economic argument for why Bitcoin makes sense, read the Bitcoin Standard. It's great. But if you're more interested in just trying to, you know, feel like, why should this work? You know, DAO of Bitcoin is a book about universal law. And I have a long relationship with Taoism. I lived in China. I just happened to have a number of personal experiences that made, you know, to living Taoist principles a part of how I live my life day to day. And so as I was studying Bitcoin, the connection for, sort of Eastern philosophy and Bitcoin was just something I had a lot of fun thinking about and got to a place where I wanted to share some of those ideas. And so that's why I wrote the book. I felt there was a strong connection. I feel there is a very strong connection between, you know, what's already happening today in Bitcoin and why it's happening. And I don't necessarily think that it has to have anything to do with the problems of central banking and money printing like we've been talking about. I mean, it does, but it has its own energy. And just like anything. And that's sort of what I get into in the book.
Awesome. And, I think it's been interesting, hopefully, for listeners to realize that you're not just, you know, a host throwing away questions at really good guests that we've had on the podcast. You are also, in your own right, you know, entrepreneur, benefits consultant, author, all kinds of different things, Bitcoiner, all this put together, right? Taoist as well. So with that, you know, hopefully our listeners have gotten better appreciation of your background, your context, the way you think, the way, you know, block words being built. But I wanted to leave you the platform for just final parting words, right? And, you know, I don't even really love saying the word advice, but almost like as we're kind of ending this conversation, right? What do you feel like needs to be said still, if there is anything, for any constituency, aspiring entrepreneurs, you know, people in HR, anybody? Very broad question.
You know, I think I would probably just go back to what I was saying a few minutes ago about the notion that Bitcoin has a high likelihood of being an enduring and important technology. And that attaining a level of knowledge around Bitcoin that will give you that level of confidence, that in itself takes a pretty significant investment of time. So my one parting thought is, you know, somebody will be listening to this for the first time ever, or this will be their, you know, they're on the fence, so they're trying to figure out where to start. And I gave this presentation in Victoria last fall called The Secret of Bitcoin. And it's the kind of the point of that presentation is like, you know, what is the one thing that anybody needs to know about Bitcoin? And my answer to that is, it's really important that you learn about Bitcoin right now. And so that can look a lot of different ways. Hopefully our podcast is helpful, books. But this is the solution to the most important problem of our time. And it is a problem that we know is going to persist and get worse. And so spend some time right now taking Bitcoin seriously. The reason I want to do all this, and apart from being able to work with great people and hopefully have some fun, is that we want to help people, and we want to help as many people as possible understand why we're doing this. And so that's probably what I would say. I love to speak, and I have also been doing some speaking. We didn't really talk about that, But on our YouTube page or on my personal webpage, which is lanternbitcoin.com, there are links to some different talks that I've done at conferences. And that would be my final thought is if you haven't been to a Bitcoin event, go to a conference because the conferences themselves can be really move the needle for somebody who's early on in figuring out what this is all about. And if you're listening in Canada, there's three events happening this year. There is Bitcoin Rodeo in Calgary at the end of June. There is Learning Bitcoin that's happening in Vancouver on August 16th. And there's the Canadian Bitcoin Conference, which is happening at the end of October in Montreal. So there's, regardless of where you're living in Canada, there's a great event that's going to be near-ish to you, unless you live in Winnipeg. And if you do live in Winnipeg, then I'm sorry. I'm from Edmonton, so I'm allowed to make Winnipeg jokes.
Oh, just be very clear. This podcast loves and endorses people from Winnipeg.
And yeah, I mean, if you're listening somewhere else, you know, I was just in Australia for Bitcoin Live, and it was a great event. Like, there are Bitcoin events happening everywhere now. So I know we have listeners from all over the world. And if you have the opportunity to go to an event and you haven't been to one yet, I would really recommend it.
Yeah, I think that was great to give a shout out to all those different Canadian Bitcoin events that are doing amazing things as we're growing out the community. And, you know, Block Rewards will be a part of all those different events. And I agree with you, Scott. More people need to get you on the conference circuit. So I'm with that as well. So on that note, I think let's sign off, Scott. It's been a pleasure flipping the table, getting to know more about you and Block Rewards from the inside. And this has been an episode of the Block Reward Podcast, a unique one at that. And I hope you all enjoy.
Thanks, Roger. This was a ton of fun. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Block Reward. We're trying to do something different here, creating accessible conversations meant for people who aren't obsessed with Bitcoin. If you found this episode informative and engaging, hit that subscribe button to make sure you stay updated with future episodes. Your feedback matters. We'd greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to share your reviews and help us with our goal of creating Bitcoin content that is simple and easy to understand. Bitcoin has an important role to play in the future of finance. It will change the way we save, spend, and invest. Discover why Bitcoin offers a game-changing opportunity for forward-thinking employers by visiting blockrewards.ca. Block Rewards' mission is helping Canadian employers implement strategies for integrating Bitcoin into compensation and benefits. Supercharge your recruitment and retention strategies, and help your team members plan for the rising cost of living by rewarding their work with the hardest money ever invented. Special thanks to our top sponsor, Paramount Employee Benefits Consulting, Canada's only Bitcoin-forward benefits and pension advisory. For more information, find them at paramountbenefits.ca. Big shout out to Podigy, our production team that makes all this possible, and VMX Escape for producing our music. Bitcoin is an expansive and dense topic many people walk away from early. To Bitcoin enthusiasts looking for that podcast they can share with friends, family, and colleagues, one they'll actually listen to, we hope that is us. The content of these conversations is meant to be provided for information purposes only. Nothing here is investment advice. Bitcoin is a big topic. Be sure to do your own research before making any personal financial decisions. Thanks for listening.